Hey everybody, Sarah Grillo back again. Today, really excited because I've got a great episode that is really gonna help a lot of you. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because more often than not, whenever I do a branding exercise with a client, I always ask the question, what was an example of a client relationship that just did not work out? And most of the time, it comes down to the advisor not really understanding the client's tolerance of risk. Now, that's not what we're here to discuss today, but I do think that the topic of understanding the client's financial personality and just their personality in general is very relevant. I think advisors miss on this all the time. I know that when I was an advisor, I messed this up a couple times. And so I'm really excited because I've got Akshay Sain here today with me of Advisory Match. Hey, Akshay. Da-da-da-da!
Hey, Sarah. How are you?
What's going on, man?
Just trying to survive in this cold weather in Dallas. I tell you, it's below freezing. How's it in New York?
Oh, please. Are you kidding me? It's awful. I've got like a triple stroller. I've got to get it out in the snow. It's like, forget it. Don't talk to me about Dallas, man. Don't talk to me. Surviving. Get out of here.
Yeah, in this cold weather, hopefully we can talk about how to bring more warmth to relationships.
That's right. Good analogy there. I like that. Great segue. So talk to me about that. I mean, I know you have a company. The company's going to be in the show notes for y'all that want to know more about it. But just tell me, what is it that you feel advisors can do when they're in that kind of like match.com moment in the beginning of the relationship where it's like the first meeting, kind of awkward? How can you warm that up?
Yeah, so, you know, I've thought about this question a fair bit and thought about how to give people analogies to understand really what it is that we're looking to do. Think about it in this manner, and I'm going to take a completely different field here. Think about dating for a second. Have you ever been set up on a blind date with anybody?
Oh, I mean, yeah, that was years ago before I had all these kids and did this to myself. But I mean, not as much blind date, or there were also dates that were just very awkward where it was like you met a dude in a bar and like he thought you were fly, you thought he was fly. So you know, you were kind of drinking, and then like you show up on the date like the next weekend, like, and you're like, holy smoke, I can't believe I agreed to this.
There you go. Well, I'm talking about the blind dates, which, you know, I'm sure one of your friends set you up at some point in time. When you go out on these blind dates, you want to know, who is this person that I'm going to meet with? Just give me some hints, give me some tips. And your friend can tell you a lot about this person. If they've known them, they can tell you about how they look, how they behave and all that stuff. But nothing makes the point as well as they told you, you know what, Sarah, you're going to go out on a date with Tom. You know what Tom is like? Remember this guy, Steve, in our class? He's a little bit like Steve, right? And when you give people that anchor, hey, this person is like this other person, you know.
Like a tangible anchor.
Exactly, a tangible anchor. Then you can just cut out all the other conversation around this person is like this, or it's like this, you know, talk to them in this manner. You've got a tangible anchor and you can approach Tom as if you were talking to Steve.
Right. Because it's something that you've experienced before. Like, it's not useful when people say, oh, well, he's a combination of like Brad Pitt and, you know, Rocky Balboa. It's like, I've never met any of these dudes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. Like, talk to me about the guy that I used to sit next to in science class in high school, because I've had that experience before. Okay.
Right. So that's kind of how we have approached relationships. And, you know, when you think about professional relationships, there are few professional relationships or a, you know, client profession or a client professional relationship like your financial advisory relationship, if you think about it. You know, you get to know your advisor, and if you've done a good job and they've done a good job, you stay around with each other for a while and they are in your life, they become your friends. And, you know, the relationship just lasts for a long period of time. And, you know, when you think about how much matchmaking or attention is paid to you know, curating that relationship up front, there's very little that's done today. And
That's right. Okay. Key point here, advisors. There's very little done to curate the relationship up until the point when you meet the client in the first meeting. There's almost nothing done to frame expectations before the first meeting. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Keep going.
No, that is correct. And actually, you bring up a key point here. The little work that is done up front before you meet with a client oftentimes revolves around
the wrong things.
Exactly. The information about, where your assets are or what your risk
is. Are you qualified? Are you worth my time, in other words? An entirely self-serving question. Do you have net worth of $1 million or more? Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. I call that all kind of, the number things. We often ignore the people things. And
yeah, that's like when you're going to go out on a blind date with someone just establishing, okay, is he single or is she single? You know what I'm saying? Like just the facts, but nothing about the personality behind the person.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's where I think as, this starts to get, look, everything is super competitive nowadays. When you think about, all the tools that financial advisors have, everybody has access to the same set of tools. So how do you bring differentiation to a relationship? And
It's emotional. It's the experience that they have with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And we're
like,
just...
it's like accountants. Like I'm ready to kick my second accountant out the door in 2 years. Every accountant has the same set of rules. Like the tax code is not different from one New York CPA to the next New York CPA.
That's exactly right.
And I'm having awful experiences. They're making it awful emotionally for me. No more money for them, for me.
and it's interesting, actually, you bring that up. I've had similar experiences in other arenas as well. Accounting is one of them. Sometimes, the professional that you're working with, they're very competent, but they're just not compatible with you. I, for example, I have a good eye for detail. I don't miss detail. I may not like to, dwell into details too much, but if my accountant is doing my taxes, I'll catch on when, they've gone off.
How are you, dude? Like, how did I ever agree to pay you like 1 cent of my money? Because I didn't screen him. Here's the reason. He came to me through a referral. It was actually an advisor relationship of mine from the past where I had worked with this advisor a lot and he had a lot of really high net worth clients. And I'm like, well, who's ever doing taxes for this advisor's clients must be like really qualified, really professional. I'll just go with him. And I didn't investigate too much. Whereas if it was the person at H&R Block, I would have been like, okay, where's your LinkedIn profile? Let me see. Like, I want to talk to testimonials, references, blah, blah. But I didn't do that due diligence. And now here I am, I got burned. So what do people do? Because, okay, here's the problem with that. Just like on any first date or before any first date, I don't want to blow the date by asking the dude before the date, oh, okay, so do you want to have kids? How many? Oh, do you get along with your mom? How were you in school? How were your grades? How's your health? Are you okay? Do you have any terminal diseases? Like the dude's going to be like, get out of here. You know what I mean? He's never going to want to go on. He's never going to go on a date with, or hey, who do you fight with? Or even better, these would be like personality questions I would want to know. How did your last relationship end with your last girlfriend? What qualms or complaints does your last girlfriend have about you? Like, I would want to know that stuff before going into a first date, but I can't ask the guy that. So what do you do?
I think maybe if we stay on this topic, I think a more appropriate thing would be to ask, is this a nice guy? Is this someone I'll get along with?
But no, but how do you do that in a financial advisor context?
I see. Yeah, so that's...
Like, tell me about that. Like, what can advisors actually do?
Right. And I think, what you've got to do is, first, as an advisor, you've got to understand that there are certain types of clients that I do really well with. And there are certain kinds of clients I've traditionally found a little bit challenging to work with. Having that self-understanding, first of all, is very important.
Uh-huh.
And then step two is figuring out this client that you're going to meet with, what are they like? Not just from standpoint of, you know, all the data points that Sarah, you talked about, but, you know, how are they wired?
How do you find out how they're wired before the first meeting or during the first meeting? Like, how do you get that information right away?
Yeah, so this is something that, you know, we have innovated and we've created our product to do exactly that.
Okay, so it's a product. So you're going to give the person what, like a questionnaire to do?
Yeah, so it's a 3 to 4 minute questionnaire. It's not, you know, any heavy duty questions or anything. There's a bunch of words that they're flashed and they just select words that they think describe them the best. This can include all biases and everything, you know, that clients may have and advisors may have. 3 to 4 minutes is all it takes.
Okay, but how do you, when you don't know the person, how do you bring that up with them? Like, how do you get someone that you don't even know?
Yeah, so it's interesting.
It's only 3 to 4 minutes. Like, how do advisors do that?
Yes, it's very interesting, you know. One of the things that people always like to learn more about is themselves. And yes, so I will say this, you know, this tool that we have, I walk around in our, you know, in our shared co-working location, I meet with CEOs and ask them, hey, do you want to try it on? Everybody's able to find time to try it on. Why? Because it tells them something about themselves. People love that.
Okay, so how would you pitch it to somebody?
It's a straightforward pitch. We're focused on relationships, and we want to make sure that we customize and tailor to your needs. To that end, we've got this 3 to 4 minute survey. If you wouldn't mind taking that before our first meeting, that'd be great.
That doesn't say what's in it for them exclusively. It says that there's something in it for you, right? We are focused on relationships. In other words, like, we're focused on getting new clients is how their client's going to interpret that. So
That's a very good question. The way we solve for that is we tell them that at the end of this 3 to 4 minute survey, we will reveal to you your own persona.
Okay, good. Right. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. See, yes. Now I'm kind of interested because then I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I'm going to be real about what I would think if I were a client. I would be like, you know, that could be useful if I could know my financial personality, because even if I end up not working with these people, I can take that information about myself and apply it to whatever person I choose to work with.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. So, I mean, I would almost put that up front. Like, I would put that as the first sentence in the email, I would say, to give you a better, before our conversation, it may be useful, you know, you may like to better understand your financial personality. This is very helpful in helping you build a relationship with the correct financial advisor for you. Because you got to put it in the you context, like, you can't talk about it in, like, it will be helpful to, you know, to the process, or it will help us to determine, because then it makes it sound like, again, like it's all for you and nothing for me. Like, I got to feel like this is all about me here. So I would just say that. I would say, before we meet, it would be beneficial for you to understand your financial personality. This will help determine if, you know, what the best financial advisor match is for you. So here's the questionnaire. It'll only take 3 to 4 minutes. Bam, send the email. That's it.
Love that. Love that. You should be part of our marketing.
I should work for you, dude. Yeah.
So marketing team. Isn't that one of the things you do, by the way?
Oh, that's right. Hey, thanks. Yeah, I am. I'm a ghostwriter.
No wonder you're good at it. You're good at it.
Well, at least I'm good at something. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of, like, real questionable areas. But, yeah, I know I can do that real well. Okay. So... that's cool. And so tell me, how, I mean, the client goes through all this, they find their financial personality match, and then what happens after that? Like, I'm the advisor, I get these results, and what happens if I find out that this person is a, I don't know, whatever, let's just make up a term for it, like a number cruncher, and I'm not. Like, let's say I'm not into performance, I'm more like on the planning side, I want to make you have a good experience, you know, I'm not into the client that's going to, because this is a huge problem for advisors. This is a huge problem for advisors. They hate when they get the DIY person that is managing their own money and is like, well, I've been getting a 15% return year on year, rah, 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 rah. Can you beat that? And then you're kind of in the position where you have to say yes. So you say that. And then every single like month, they're like, wait a second, you were 3 basis points below the benchmark and I paid your fee. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do I do if I find out I've got this number group, the number monger, and I'm not? Like, I don't care about performance. I don't measure it. It's really not what I deliver in my practice. What do you do?
Yeah, so see, I don't have a great suggestion for advisors on that, because it really is their call. If they want to have such clients, you know, they may be okay having such clients, work through those relationships. Our job is to call those out up front for the advisor and give the advisor the tools that this is the type of client you're going to potentially work with here. Here are the things to keep in mind. Here are certain boundaries you want to be very careful about. That's all we can do. Thereafter, you know, if the advisors can follow that advice, great. They may in certain instances choose not to work with a certain client, but again, that's entirely their call. Or alternatively, you know, the advisor, in some instances, there are a couple of people on the team. You may have a colleague who's a better match to work with this particular client for the reasons that you described. Those are all the pieces of information we can help uncover, but at the end of the day, you know, we can't really advise an advisor, hey, take this client on or not. It's really up to them to right. work through those relationships.
Yeah. Well, I think that what it does is it helps you understand better what is behind door number 3. And I think with that kind of awareness, you can make decisions then about your behavior. You can say, all right, I don't even want to work with this person. You can say, I will work with this person, but I have to be very careful because this person is, we call it goal-oriented, okay?
Right.
Say, this person is very goal-oriented and maybe I'm not, which is going to mean that we're going to need absolute clarity about what goal, I mean, framing realistic expectations, to use a cliche, but I think then it becomes a question of, okay, well, I'd better be really careful to set up in the beginning about the fact that we are not a performance-driven kind of an operation, and then let them decide, and they'll self-select. And then that gets into the whole thing, which I'm going to have other people on this podcast, advisors who are listening, I'm going to have other people on this that are specialists in the area of risk, assessing risk, and framing client expectations about risk and return. So I think that's another conversation. But emotionally, let's say it's not about the numbers. Let's say it's just emotional. Like, let's say that this person is a very, like, doesn't go by logic, just is governed by emotions and is, you know, wants to be able to relate to you, right? Then that gives you the understanding that, okay, so I'm going to have to be very attuned to their personal needs. I'm really getting, you know, they're going to maybe want a lot of attention. I'm going, you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to have to put on the warm fuzzies for them because you don't want food, right?
Yeah. So, you know, just a couple of further, you know, just building on what you said, look, I think one of the things that I understand and realize is everybody wants to be related to, you know, even, you know, look, we are human beings and everybody wants to be understood, whether it is someone who is, you know, a risk-loving person or someone who's risk-averse. or someone who really likes to take things one step at a time. I want to understand, you know, everything that you're going to do, or somebody who dwells in the detail, deep in details, and, you know, wants to see by how many basis points, you know, you beat the index. Everybody wants to be understood. So when that is the, you know, when that is everybody's desire, are you the best person to relate to this client? And you very well maybe. If you're not, what are some of the places or areas where you may not relate to this client well, and you'll have to go against your natural tendencies and be wary of those? So to your point about, you know, hey, look, someone may be super emotional, they just want to be heard. You may be an impatient advisor or an impatient professional who doesn't really...
Oh, no. Like, I mean, I'll give you an example. Like, I'm compatible with most people that come to me that already know kind of like that I'm very blunt and I'm very direct. Now, most people that come to me and they know that because they've seen something I've written. And in my writing, I'm very blunt and direct. So it's like they kind of self-select. But I do not do well with people who are unstable. Like, it's just something I cannot relate to. You know, like, I get very emotional about one thing in life, and that's my children. But other than that, I'm really not an emotional person in life. Like, even this, like, stupid thing that this accountant did, I was like, okay, I'm going to deal with this, and that. I'm going to make it a list. I'm going to do it. Now, I wasn't, like, that emotional about it, but I don't know if it's, like, annoyed or I just can't handle it, but I don't do well with people that fly off the handle in business and panic and, like, get so emotionally unstable and yell. Like, I was on Wall Street, and it was just, like, everyone was having a temper tantrum. I guess I just kind of looked down on it. I mean, I'm sorry for anyone that is like that that's listening to it, but it's, like, it just doesn't go with me. And so, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something I need to improve upon. But, that would be very useful for me to know if someone is a loose cannon. I would really rather not waste the time, because it's not just a waste of time for me to covet the relationship. And I put my heart and my soul, and I deliver quality to people, and it doesn't come cheap in terms of time. Right. So, and the other thing is, like, a tremendous liability. Like, when someone starts getting emotional, I start to think, am I not going to get paid? Like, are they going to just yank the bill and, like, just be like, you, I don't like this, I'm not paying, because that's happened. Or, like, am I going to get sued? Because that is another thing you always should have in the back of your mind. It's like, is this such an incompatibility that they're going to do something and then I have to react and I'm going to be in a bad position? And either way, it's like a rock and a hard place. If either I do something they don't that's not right for my practice, or I get sued. Awful position to be in.
Yeah, well, if this is any help, you know, how you describe yourself, Sarah, is consistent with your profile that we have.
I know, I did it. I actually ate the cooking. It's true, I did that. Like, I'm just, you know, don't have time for that.
No surprises there. You're very pragmatic. I get that. You know, everything you said is consistent with your profile.
Right, yeah.
We're going to get along.
Okay, so listen, we got to wrap here. Actually, thank you so much for being on. This was a fun show, dude. I really had a good time. Tell me three things that the advisors listening to this across the world should take away from this podcast and implement into their practices. Not necessarily working with Advisory Match. You know, the info is going to be in the show notes for anybody who's interested. But just in general, like, what are three action steps they can take?
Yeah, so I think first thing I would say, focus on relationships. Stop the, you know, or reduce your focus on all the numbers and performance and everything. All that is important, but it takes care of itself. Beauty is the markets take care of themselves for the most part. So focus on relationships. That's number one. Number two, really, really, really figure out what your strengths are and what are your weaknesses or things you do not like. Because the better an understanding of that you will have, the better you can align your business strategy and really go after the client base that you're going to be super successful with. And the third thing is groom talent. Don't be the lone advisor. Groom talent around you, be it people who are working with you or under you, bring new folks on, because that's perhaps one of the most important ways or most important investments you need to make to grow your advisory business. Those would be my three, Sarah.
Yeah, no, it's true, because trying to work a client that's not going to work for you is just, like, you're better off giving the relationship to someone else that'll appreciate it, appreciate you, and then maybe refer you some business back sometime. Like, for example, I do a lot of work on websites with Dan Solon, right? Like, we work together. And in addition, like, Dan does other marketing stuff. Like, he's a coach, but he's really good at, like, closing techniques and, like, and, you know, I'm like much better at prospecting. And so when someone comes to me and they're like, I need help on closing, I'm like, no, like, go to Dan. You know what I mean? And I, like, it's so weird to think about that, but it's, you know, I really trust him and we have a very symbiotic relationship, because he'll sometimes, like, he'll get gigs in and he'll be like, this isn't right for me. This should be for Sarah. You know, and there's like nothing better than that, because I just feel like I'm totally, like, I'm on my stride now with this. And I know that I'm not going to have to worry about the client 3 months from now going to the competition, because I'm giving the client to the competition right away, because I know that I can't compete with that. So I guess, like, what you're kind of saying is build a team of resources, and some of them may actually be people that are doing the same thing as you even, but just know that your competition in some cases can actually be like your best friend and your best kind of help with this.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You got it.
All right. Thanks. So we're going to wrap here, everybody. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Akshay, thank you so much. And everyone stay tuned for the next one. Bye now.
Thank you.